I would direct your minds this evening to a portion you will find in Psalm 42, the 42nd Psalm, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42, verse 11. The psalmist here seems to me inquiring into his own heart, into his own soul about the matters of eternity. There's two question marks in our text. So he puts the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Doesn't this show to us, friends, the deep exercise in the heart of the psalmist? It's no small mercy to have a real exercise within before the living God in the matters of eternity. All the matters of one's pathway. And it seems to me that the dear man had been, and we know he had been, many times cast down. In this very psalm we read, my soul thirsteth for God. If he was thirsting for God, he wasn't in the sweet experience of drinking in, shall I say, or tasting of the rich streams of the love of God. My soul thirsteth. He wasn't in that sweet experience of it. For the living God, he tells us here in the second verse, none other would do, but the God of Israel. I believe we have that thirst, have we not, for the living God? Many today are satisfied with the letter of the word, but the psalmist wasn't, and I trust you and I are not. We want something more than the letter of it. We want the reality of it. We want our souls to be in that exercise before God, a real thirst in our souls for the living God. If there's no thirst and no hunger, can there be life? And oh, how we are told so plainly in the scriptures that without a new birth, there cannot be life, cannot be heaven. So the psalmist had been in somewhat sorrow. My tears, he says. So it brought him to tears. It brought him to weeping. And how true we can say, respecting David and others who wept in Zion, they that sow in tears will reap in joy. Well, our text says, why art thou cast down? Why? Well, there's many things, as you know, to cast us down in our day, in our life, in the house of God, and in our nation. There's many things to cast us down. We look for a moment or two within our own heart, and what do you see there, friends? Is there something to rejoice about? I trust there's something to rejoice about, that is, what the Lord has given to us, but how often there seems to be the holding of these blessings. And therefore we are brought down in sorrow. The Lord shows his dear people, and I trust has shown us, what dwells in an earthly tabernacle. And you say, what is that? Well, a nature that is enmity to God. And out of that carnal nature within our hearts, there's sin. And as you know, sin is an awful sight in the sight of God. An awful thing. For in prayer of her, of the Lord Jesus on the cross, you know, oh, what he passed through. Sin. Sin. Oh, thou hideous monster sin. What a curse hast thou brought in. All creation's grown through thee, plagiarant cause of misery. Well, David knew that. He knew what was in his heart by nature. He describes it in the Psalm 51. Create in me is as a clean heart, O God. Create. He couldn't. Yet he needed it. He's praying for it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Under that knowledge and that experience, no wonder the poor man was cast down. Therefore, I believe we know something of that pathway of the psalmist and what he passed through in his own soul. Sin, as I said, is an awful thing. It causes the frown of God upon us. God cannot smile upon sin. He can smile upon his dear people and bring them down to his feet. Then there's something to be seen and praised God for. So sin was one of the, I believe, deepest burdens that the psalmist had. And it is so, dear friends, with his dear people. If we're not a real mourner over sin and after God, we're in a sad place. Because he hasn't shown us, revealed to us, at least in some measure, what there is in our carnal nature. And then again, you who have known a little of the blessings of God, hasn't there been times when the Lord has come and spoken into thy poor heart? Hasn't there been times when you felt a little of the presence of God? Well, Song of Solomon's we read of the church, I have found him whom my soul loveth. Now perhaps he's withdrawn. He withdraws sometimes from his dear people. In this way, we cannot see him, behold him, or feel his presence. And there's a hardness that comes into our hearts. And what does that cause? Well, it causes a casting down. David knew this casting down. Sometimes you come to the house of God and perhaps the word has been made fruitful, powerful, food to thy poor soul. And perhaps another time you've come and you can't find the Lord. And there seems no movement in the preaching of the gospel. And you are cast down. So there's many things to cast the Lord's dear people down, travelling along through the wilderness. The way is rough. And dark often. And you often wonder where the scene would end. With this dear man, he had a pathway to walk that perhaps we know but little of, the path of persecution. Now the poor man was persecuted. He was threatened by Saul and Absalom. And death. Well, it looked as if he was going to face death. No hope of anything else but death. No wonder the poor man knew this pathway of sorrow and a casting down. So it was with Jeremiah. Read, as you have done doubtless many times, the third chapter of Lamentation. You'll find where Jeremiah was. Sometimes in the dungeon. And I do believe, dear friends, this is the pathway of the Lord's dear people. Yes. He was only trying to speak last evening a little from the Epistle of Paul to the Epistle of Peter, brethren. why the dear man couldn't understand. Why these trials, these dark places, these casting downs. That we came to this, it was to draw his dear ones to his feet. And therefore he lays the burden and brings us and lays us low to bring us to look to him, knowing there's nothing in us, nothing in the creature. Cannot put confidence in man. Therefore we come unto the Lord in prayer and seek. So the Lord casts his dear people down often to bring us and draw us to his footstool in prayer. God moves a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Why? The text says, why art thou cast down? I'm only trying in my poor way to set forth the reason why the Lord's people are often cast down. When they have to walk alone, cannot find him, cannot hear his voice, may not there be a crumb dropping from his table? No sweet streams flowing into thy poor heart. And you are cast down, as I've mentioned with David. He knew the path of persecution, and it cast him down. So it was with all. I believe all of those dear prophets of old, in various ways, various experiences they had, and they was cast down. Again and again, and in the New Testament, as with those disciples, how often they were cast down. And Jesus saw their hearts on one occasion, many occasions, but on one occasion he speaks of it. We have it in the 16th of John. And Jesus said to those disciples, why art thou cast down? Or in other words, ye now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Oh, the casting downs that the Lord's dear people have, in their own experiences, in their own soul, and to do with the house of God. How often, no doubt, some of you have been cast down. You've come, and you've seen so many, as you do tonight, laid aside, can't come. Isn't it a casting down? Isn't it causing a cry out of your heart on their behalf, that they might be restored and affliction may be sanctified and brought again in their seat in the sanctuary? Aren't these the things that cast us down? In Zion, what an withholding of the anointing. Those dear men of old, the prophets, oh, how they went forth with full of the gospel, and how the Lord used them to his honour and to his glory. Where are they today? I believe it's the prophet Micah speaks of the fruit, the summer fruits. They're gone. Alluding, I believe, to those dear men that he knew in his day who was unable to preach the gospel under the Holy Spirit's aid. But they're gone. Poor man's felt to be alone. And isn't it so today with many of us? As the Lord has taken and is still taking one and another from our midst, those who feared God in the ministry and in the pew, one after the other. Doesn't it bring us to be cast down? Sometimes we wonder what yet is to be faced in Zion. I know many of our young people, sad to say, brought up under the sound of the truth, and yet they departed from it, gone in some other so-called religion, something more easy. Doesn't it cause a deep concern in your soul and a casting down as we find Zion's diminishing and brought low? As I said, withholding of the Holy Spirit, isn't there a casting down, dear friends, in your soul and mine? And if we go a little further, what about our nation and where are we as a nation today? I've often wondered what the nation must appear in the sight of God. We look upon the nation, hear of the nation, and read of the nation, and all the casting down. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord hasn't destroyed us under his wrath as a nation. But still, the Lord has been with us and preserved us, and preserved us from their enemies in the days that are past. We have much to be thankful for. But as we look at it, even from in these days, what a casting down. Will the Lord again appear for England? Will he come and revive us again? Oh, the casting down. As we look at the whole world, we wonder, well, it's a wonderful thing the Lord has had patience with us as a nation and throughout the world amidst all the wickedness, blasphemy, murder, bloodshed on every hand. Well, there's a casting down. Let us look at the other side. I've often said, and possibly in your hearing before, there's two sides to a true religion. There's the days of sorrow, there's the days of rejoicing, days of darkness, days of light. There are times when the Lord shines upon, maybe dark. Days of adversity and days of prosperity. Now, in this exercise, in the heart of the psalmist, he says, why? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? As if he might be saying, now look back. And it's some good sometimes to be able to look back and to remember all the way the Lord our God hath led us these many years. 40 years may not be so long. Some of us longer. Now, why art thou cast down? To be a man, he looked back, and he's seen there some of the mercies of God. You can. You can look back, some of you, many years, and you remember when the Lord called you by divine grace. Yes, dear man, the psalmist, he could look back to those days. Yes, he could remember when there was a change wrought. So can you, some of you. Why art thou cast down? The Lord began the work of grace, quickened thy soul, gave thee an heavenly calling, brought you to a concern, made you feel the weight of your soul in matters of eternity. Now the psalmist began to look within, and he says, why? Why, my soul? Not speaking to some other. Not to look into others. No, it was his soul. Why then, my soul? What a question, dear friends. Well, this would seem very foolish to the world, would it not? That a man should speak to his own soul, but not in the things of grace. Is the inner man of divine grace in the earthly tabernacle which God has planted there? And he seems to be looking away from himself to the grace of God and say, why? Why, my soul? Look back. See what the Lord has done for you. Given you an everyday calling. Brought you out of darkness. Put a deep concern in thy soul, respecting the matters of eternity. Then why? Why, poor sinner? Why? If the Lord has commanded, what have you sung in that hymn this evening? If my Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Why? Have you had a little of that sweet experience, dear friends, of the shining of God's face upon thy heart? Did Jesus once upon thee shine? I remember many years ago, now over 60 years ago, going into Folkestone Chapel one Sunday morning to the prayer meeting, and our dear man, Mr. Hayder, gave it at him. Did Jesus once upon thee shine? And that hymn, my friends, or that verse, those lines, came right into my heart. Did Jesus once, think of it, if he shined upon thy poor soul once, you belong to him, and he belongs to you. He's your God and Savior. Yes, it's the Sun of Righteousness shining down from heaven into thy poor, benighted soul. Now the psalmist says, why art thou cast down? Yes. The Lord has given you a few tokens, has he not? Yes, turn thy feet, can I say, out of the broad way into the narrow. He has brought you to bow before him. He's brought you to the throne of grace. Sad if he hasn't. Hasn't he said, I will bring the blind by a way that they do not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Why art thou cast down? Show me, said the psalmist, in that psalm not far from our text. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. That's a token, dear friends. That's a token for good. If we are unable to come to that place and know that the Lord is revealing his word, his truth, himself, the gospel, in our hearts, and to lead us in those paths of truth, and to teach us by his Holy Spirit. Now, if we know a little of that, can I come to the words of the psalmist? Why, poor soul? Why art thou cast down the sea? Why all this darkness? Why all this unbelief? Why all this in thy heart that seems contrary to the teaching of the Lord, of the Spirit? Why? You know what it is to turn sometimes from your daily occupation, it may be, from your work, into a secret place and call upon God. You've been enabled to pour out, as it were, your very desires from the bottom of your heart to heaven. And hasn't there been times when he's heard? Hasn't there been times when he's broke through those dark clouds, heard thy prayer, heard thy supplication, and given you the answer? You can't deny it, some of you. Oh, the Lord met me there. Why art then cast down, my soul? I remember taking the dear old gentleman often on a Sunday evening from Ethfield to Uckfield for the evening service. And when he went past a certain barn, he said, look, that's where the Lord met me. That's where the Lord pardoned my sin. Why? Why art thou cast down, poor soul? Can you look back to a place? Can you put a finger, as it were, on a certain place, on a building, and say, there the Lord met me. It was there where he met with me. It was there where he heard prayer. It was there when my soul was blessed with the tokens for good. Why art thou cast down? And I believe and heard the voice of God. There has been promises, has there not? Perhaps you've received the same promise as Jeremiah had. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Why, poor soul? Why are you down in that place tonight, feeling somewhat like Jeremiah in the dungeon? No way out, maybe. But look back. Oh, it's good sometimes behavior to look back. And I believe it's God honoring to remember those visits and those places and touches, by the way, and those crumbs received. Why, poor soul? Have I one here this evening, seen to be right down in the depth, in the miry clay, in the seas to be no way out of it, in darkness, and you fear the consequence of it all? You fear, I was going to say, and I will, hell for the eternity. Yet, friends, oh, do look back. The Lord has promised to be our remembrancer. And it's good to be able to ask the Lord that he would cause us to remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee. And if he does, and feel a little of the sweetness, you'll come into the text. Why art thou cast down? After all what the Lord has done, after these many mercies, a few crumbs for the way, a help here, and more. Oh, have you felt your sins forgiven? Have you ever been led by faith to Calvary? Have you had a little faith view of that dear man, Jesus Christ? On that accursed cross, upon that tree, suffering, pleading, dying. If so, well might we come into this text, why, poor soul, art thou cast down? Jesus came for you. Jesus died on Calvary's cross. He opened a fountain of his pure, precious blood. Why, poor soul, amidst all your troubles and death, of darkness and so on, but why? I'm speaking to you who've received the heavenly calling, not to the dead. Why? Why? If he's brought you to the throne of grace to seek for those rich blessings, the rich blessings of the gospel, the rich provisions of the gospel. Why, poor soul? Why, the Lord has quickened you, opened your eyes, brought you to fear him. And in your heart, isn't there a prayer? Remember me, it may be, with a favor. Dear friends, if we are able to pray that prayer, remember me, as the psalmist did. Remember me with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. If that prayer cometh forth from our heart, may I repeat the text? Why, bosom? Why? I'm sure if there's no spiritual life in your soul, you wouldn't want that prayer or any other prayer, and you wouldn't believe in God. But you have been, by the grace of God, brought to fear him, brought to love him. And why, poor soul, art thou cast down? As I say, dear friends, there's two sides to a true religion. I know when we are first called by grace, there's the law to be faith, the holiness of God, our sins. And we can't perhaps come to the text at all. But as the Lord leads along, little here and little there, line upon line and precept upon precept, and shown us the way, revealed the way, and given you a sweet touch from time to time of his mercy, of his love, seen his face, and felt his presence, touch of his precious blood, may I say, well, why, then, poor sinner, art thou cast down? Why? And so our text continues. David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? I have no doubt that David, he had concern of others, and so have we, I trust. So did Jabez. What did Jabez pray? Oh, that wonderful prayer, very short. He called upon the God of Israel. What was his prayer? Bless me indeed. Did he leave it there? No, the Lord blessed it. We do not hesitate to say it. We believe it. Because at the close of that prayer, he says God granted him his request. But in that short prayer, did he not pray for his coast to be enlarged? Coast to be enlarged, his heart to be enlarged, not only for himself, my soul is in the text, but for others. But here in this text, David says, oh, my soul. Dear friend, it shows to us the weight of his soul. That is, he felt the weight of it, the weight of his spirit, knowing that the time would come when he'd have to stand before a holy God and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Same as you and I, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Oh, my soul. Oh, it shows to us that his soul was his deepest concern, and so it should be with us. Each of us are passing very swiftly through this life to a never-ending eternity. And how will it be with you and I? My soul, my soul, you know there's no way into heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all sinners, come short of the glory of God. Every one of us must pass through the fountain, otherwise there's no heaven. No heaven, no glory, no cleansing. Needless for me to tell you, there's nothing in heaven that defiles. Everything is pure and holy. So no wonder the psalmist felt the weight of his soul. Oh, my soul. And then he says, and why art thou disquieted? So concerned. So cast down within him. Why? It's the same question, as it were, brought here, as in the former part of the text. I believe this, that David was in a good frame of mind when he came here. His faith was lifting at being lifted above the world and the things of it. And I'll say, and I will say, above himself, why, my soul, art thou disquieted within me? And then he says, hope thou in God. You sung at him this evening on hope. Great Father of glory, how rich is thy grace, what wonderful love is displayed in thy face. In Jesus thy image with brightness we view and hope to be formed to that likeness anew. And another dear man says, we travel through a barren land with dangers thick on every hand, but Jesus guides us through the veil. The Christian's hope can never fail. Did David's hope fail? No. No. In heaven, glory, without a doubt. Why, art thou disquieted within me? Hope. What an encouraging word dropped from the lips of the psalmist. It is being handed down to us, even this day. How many, many years have passed, and yet, hope thou in God. What are you hoping for this evening, dear friends? As you're hoping for something of this world's goods, there are secondary things. I believe I've got some here hoping for another full assurance. Perhaps you haven't had one yet. Hoping for full assurance that you're among the redeemed. In God's people, that you are in the covenant, that your name is written in heaven, you're hoping. You're hoping then as you travel along that He, the God of Israel, is your God. You're hoping for Him to appear for you. You're hoping for Him to give the word forgiveness. You're hoping for Him to prepare you for heaven. You're hoping to get to heaven. And as you journey along, you're hoping to know that you're on the good foundation and in the right road for heaven. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. For I shall yet praise him. He was cast down, as we read, but as he says, I will yet praise him. What do we see here, dear friend? Oh, faith rising. Living faith, the faith that God gives. You see, once the Lord has given life spiritual, there's a fear of God in their heart, and faith is implanted. Sometimes we fear that faith is dying out, but he never will. If there's a gift of God, and the psalmist knew it. Now he is cast down. He says, why art thou cast down? I shall yet praise him. There will be a turning of the tide, turning of the experience in my heart. There will be praise. And he may have even gone a little further from his earthly tabernacle, for I shall yet praise him in heaven, in glory, as a redeemed soul, amongst the redeemed in heaven, for I shall, he says. Oh, how sweet it is to be able to build our hope for eternity on good ground. And as I've said, Christ is the only foundation for his dear people to build on whilst they're travelling through the night, this world. For I shall yet praise him. Oh, is the health of my countenance, and he closes with this, and so will I. My God. My God. Some of you long to be able to say, maybe, my God. I remember in my early days, oh, I did long to be able to say, my God. And so did the hymn writer. My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with some assurance claim a portion so divine. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us and all that fear thy name, now and forevermore. Amen.